Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled Growing in Understanding. In Romans 8:19, Paul wrote that the creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. When we were born again, we were born into God's family as his sons. Now, we're supposed to grow up in our understanding of who we are as his sons, because the world is groaning as it awaits the manifestation of God's sons in the earth. The world is waiting on us to grow up in our understanding of being God's sons. I hope that you enjoy this message. I'd like to begin with prayer. Father God, thank you for the new creation identity that you have given us as your sons, as your children, joint heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Thank you so much. Father, I thank you that we have a understanding, a greater understanding of what it means to be your sons. And Father, that we walk in this understanding, that it affects every area, every single area of our life. In Jesus' name, I pray that the world will see the difference in us. We come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you now in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, thank you for teaching us this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for the next probably 55 minutes, we're going to do a little Bible study here regarding our new creation identities. Identity, not plural, singular. We've been looking at this for the last couple of weeks. This is a series of teachings. And tonight we're going to focus in a little bit more closely on our new creation identity as a son of the living God. Now notice, I didn't say the son. There's only one, the Son of the living God, and that's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But when we became born again, when we made Jesus the Lord of our life, and we experienced the new birth, old things passed away, behold, all things have become new. We became a brand new creation. We became a son of God. Children of God. And as I have discussed this in the last few weeks, you know, the one theme that seems to I notice comes up pretty regularly inside of me as I'm talking about this is the fact that the church seems to be somewhat oblivious to what it truly means to be a son of God. And I think about that, and it really bothers me that something so vitally important as the understanding of what it means to be a son is something that the church struggles to understand. It seems like modern-day Christianity is so hung up on sin. And you have one side of the tracks that all they want to talk about is sin, and that we're all sinners saved by grace, which I was a sinner. I got saved by grace, and now I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. And yet we still have this whole group of people that want to talk about the fact that they're sinners, they are sinning, blah, 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 all about sin. Now we have another camp of people on the other side that all they want to talk about is grace. And so to me, I think that when I hear both of these groups of people talking about whether it's all about sin or no, it's not all about sin, we live in grace. What I think the real point that's being missed is, you know, not whether it's about sin or grace, but who we became. You know, we can focus on these other points, and they can become distractions to us. because we're looking at sin and we're trying to say, okay, is this sin? Is it not sin? Am I free from this sin because of grace? And you go back and forth, and all the while, the real focus of attention, I believe, truly needs to be on the fact that we have been born again, that we are God's children, His sons. And I say His sons because, truthfully, we have the standing as of the firstborn. We're joint heirs with Him. And that's why when I think about it, I think that of us as sons. So this new creation identity that we have as sons, we want to talk about that tonight. And want to begin with a couple of verses out of 1 John, if you'd like to turn there with me, 1 John chapter 3. Just want to establish the fact that we're children of God here, verses 1 and 2 of 1 John chapter 3. Behold, look at this. He's saying, draw your attention right here. Look at what I'm about to say. Behold, don't miss this. You know, we read these words and behold, and they don't mean anything to us. But when John wrote this, he said behold because he wanted to capture our attention. He wanted us to focus on what we're saying, what he's about to say to us. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Think about that. Think about the love that God has for us. Even after all that He had to go through, think about the fall of Adam in the garden. Now here God had created this perfect world and put His man in the garden to tend it, to watch out over it, and put woman with man. Everything was perfect in God's perfection. It's hard to even think about that, isn't it? Where there's no weeds. And yet He's to keep the garden, but there's no weeds there. You know, really, He's supposed to keep the devil out. That's what He's supposed to do. But here He is in perfection. And then what does He do? He bows His knee to Satan. And as a result, death enters into Him. He is separated from God, permanently separated from God. In His state of being, He could not fellowship with God because death had entered into Him. So here we see Adam basically just pushing himself away from God, following the enemy. And yet God has such great love for us. He is love. And that's all He has for us is love. That He would not stand to leave us in the condition that we were in. Look at this. Behold, look here. Look at what I'm about to say. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. See, He doesn't say children. He says children later on, but right here he's saying sons. Why? Because we stand in that same place with Jesus, the Son of God. We are sons of God. We're joint heirs with Him. How should this impact our everyday life? The fact that we are sons of the living God. God is our Father. God's our Father. How should this impact our life? What should be different in our everyday lives because of the fact that He's our Father? He is our Father. God is our Father. When we make Jesus Lord of our life, God becomes our Father. Behold, John is saying, folks, this is important. This right here is important. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. See, as I was reading that, the Holy Ghost brought back to my attention 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. See, here's where he's talking about sin. Okay, 1 John 1, 9, you're all familiar with it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, he mentions that right here. He deals with the fact that there is forgiveness for sin. But notice, two chapters later, behold, this is what's truly important. That sin issue, yeah, you need to deal with it. You don't need to be messing around in sin. If you truly have fallen in love with Jesus, you're not looking for ways to get away with sin. You're looking for ways to get out of it, stay out of it. You know, if you're the kind of person that's just dabbling around in this, you're not really serious about it, you're in trouble. You're just flat in trouble. You need to get in, or just don't even mess with it. And I would suggest you get in with both hands and both feet and just get completely immersed. Because that's the only way you really are going to be a success in the kingdom of God. Just dabbling around on the edges, you're just fodder for the enemy when you do that. I'll read this one more time. I just really like it. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It was because of his love for us, his great love for us. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not when we get to heaven. See, now is when we should be reaping the benefits of being a son. Now is when we should be involved with the Father's business. And what's the Father's business? Souls in the kingdom of God. That's what his whole focus of attention on. He wants to increase his family, and the way that you do it isn't by making people feel guilty and they have to go out and pass out tracts and knock on doors and you make them feel guilty for it. No, it's because you developed in your area of your love of your Father to the point that you just share everywhere you go, whatever you're doing, that you impact the world that is around you. That's what God is wanting. He's wanting us to be light in the darkness, salt in the world. You know, we should be salty. I've looked at that so many times over the years, where it talks about us being salt in the earth, natural preservative. But one thing that nobody can deny is that if you put a little salt in your mouth, just a little bit, what does it do? It makes you thirsty for more. Thirsty. So not only is my saltiness going to affect me, but it's going to affect other people, and there's going to be it's going to create an appetite for them to want to partake of the living water. Glory to God. It's going to make them a little thirsty. That's at least my hope, that my life impacts someone else to the point that it creates a thirst within them for to know the Lord. They might not even know me or my stand of faith, but the influence of my life on theirs, the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Ghost in me should be affecting the world that is around me. They should look at me differently. They should look at you differently. They should sense something is different about you. Because why? Because you're a son of God. You are a son of God right now. That's what it says right here. Now are you a son of God. Now. Not someday when you get to heaven. But right now, right here, right now. We should be living our life as sons live their lives, sons of God. We should be affecting people's lives. Because with this truth about being a son of God, when they see us, when they see our lives, when they're affected, influenced by us, they should sense there's something different here. I don't know what it is, but I know that there is a presence here. There's something, from that should be opportunity. Maybe not at that second. You know, sometimes it takes time to create that thirst, to create that a kind of interest in what we stand for, so that someone might even begin to question us. You know, why do you do these things? Why do you pray over your food? How come I never hear you cussing like the rest of the people that work here? You know, how come you don't badmouth the boss? How come you're always positive and you're always smiling? Why are you like this? You see, those are simple things anybody, any Christian should be able to do. Just live the life in front of them to draw them. You know, you're so positive. You're never sick. Why are you never sick? You know, what is it about you that's different? You never complain. You never fuss at anybody. You're never fighting with your spouse. What's different about you? See, that's what the world needs to be seeing in your life. That's what they need to be influenced by. That's the saltiness of Jesus in us that should be causing a thirst to develop in someone else. Maybe somebody that's gotten turned off because of church and the fact that they're always talking about sin, and here some poor person has been influenced by it, just literally beat down year after year after year, going and hearing the same messages, telling them that they're sinners, and so what happens? Well, they got to recommit their life. Then the next week or next month, they got to recommit their life again. Before you know it, you have lived your life recommitting your life, and yet you still are walking in defeat. It shouldn't be that way. Not after everything that Jesus has done for us. Not after he paid the price for us to become a member of God's family. He paid a horrible price. And we need to take advantage, full advantage, of what he has made available to us. Sons. Sons of the living God. We are sons of the living God. Hallelujah. We should live like sons. We should act like sons. We should, when people see us, they should know that there's something's different about this person. I can't put my finger on it, but I know that there's something different. And hopefully that will turn into whatever that is. I want some of that. That's what we're looking for. We want to be an enticement, to lure people, lure them into a relationship with Jesus. Lure them in. You know, and just like a lure with a person who's fishing. They throw that bait in the water, you got to let it sit there sometimes. Can't just jerk it out of the water. Well, this didn't work. No, you have to send it back out. You have to play with that lure. Let that fish get enticed by it. Next thing you know, they grab that hook. You got dinner on the table now. And see, it's because they've finessed that bait. They played with that, and that fish took hold of it. And see, in our life, you know, too many times I think Christians they get enthusiastic about the things of God. And the next thing you know, they're beating somebody over the head with their big old 5-pound Bible. That's no way to get somebody enticed. You're not alluring anybody. You're beating them down. Stop beating them down. Love them. Love them into the kingdom. No matter how disgusting they might seem to you, God loves them. God loves each and every one of us equally, the same. He has no favorites. He cannot have any favorites. And he wants us. He wants us to grow up into him. He wants us to exhibit what it means to be a son, so that the world around us can be influenced by that, so that they themselves will be drawn into salvation. Glory to God. See, that's what we're looking for. Salvation. Salvation. Hallelujah. Well, let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Romans 8. You know, As I have studied through Romans at different times, it seems like it each verse of each chapter seems to build on what was said in the previous chapter. And then you finally get to verse 8 or chapter 8, and it's like he's hitting his climax here with Romans 8, because of, you know, you're getting right to the heart of the matter in Romans 8. You know, he's making the statement here about the fact that we're sons. If you look down here in Romans 8, we'll begin reading in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, if it wasn't important, then Paul wouldn't continue to make a point of interjecting this about the fact that we're sons of God. But it is important. It's vitally important. He's not sitting here telling them, you bunch of despicable sinners, you need to repent. You better recommit your life. What have you been doing? You are just no good. You just can't keep from sinning. Your flesh is out of control. See, that's not at all what we see when we read Paul's writings inspired by the Holy Ghost. What we see is love. What we saw in Jesus was love. You know, when he would encounter, like the woman at the well, when he encountered the woman at the well, and, you know, she had, you know, she was living with somebody that wasn't her husband, and yet Jesus didn't condemn her. And now how many Christians, church, good church-going people, if they had that same conversation with that woman at the well, and the Holy Ghost revealed to them that she was shacking up with somebody, not her husband, how many good Christian folks would welcome her with open arms? I dare say not very many. Sadly, not very many. Why? It's almost like we don't want to get our hands dirty with sin. We think it's contagious or something. Don't touch that person, they're a sinner. What kind of foolishness is that? If you look at Jesus, I mean, he ate with them. They were all sinners. In Jesus' day, nobody was born again. Nobody. So when he went anywhere, he was in contact with someone who was not born again, anywhere he went. And yet, he sat down and ate with people, fellowshiped with them. You see, I think the church could take a lesson from Jesus. I know I could take a lesson from Jesus about how to share what's inside of us with a lost and dying world. You know, that's something that I want to improve on. I want to be more vocal and more of the kind of person that is able to just share with people the truth of the gospel. The people around us are dying. They're going to hell. And they don't know. So many of the younger people, they're oblivious to Jesus, who Jesus is, what he's done. You know, they may have heard of something at Vacation Bible School when they were kids. They might have heard their parents talk, but they're just so burned out on church and hearing about how bad they are that, you know, all too many of them are just pushing away from it. Shouldn't be that way. So let's go back here to Romans 8. For as many, verse 14, as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit, this verse I think is just so very important. The Spirit itself, or I always say himself, because the Spirit here is talking about the Holy Spirit, who is a person. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Think about that. Now, let me ask you something. Where it says here that the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit, when's the last time you recall that happening to you, where the Holy Ghost was bearing witness with your spirit? Are you conscious of that? Do you recognize those times? Because those times happen. There are times that the Holy Ghost is going to bear witness with our spirit. Do you know that those times are supposed to be happening? And if they're not, what is it in your life that is keeping you from experiencing this bearing witness of the Holy Ghost? Could it be, as I have been guilty of, could it be that we're just so doggone busy that we just miss him bearing witness? Because I'm going to tell you, he's not going to come in and with beating a drum to get our attention. He's not going to come in clanging stuff, you know, pots and pans trying to get our attention. He's not going to do that. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He's a gentleman, so whenever he, you know, when he presents himself to us, bless God, we need to acknowledge. When he's bearing witness with us, we need to acknowledge, oh, that's you, Holy Ghost. Well, thank you for bearing witness. Thank you for showing me this. Glory to God. See, that's something that we need to be conscious of. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the children of God. The Holy Ghost is bearing witness with our spirit. There shouldn't be any question. We shouldn't be running around wondering if we're saved or not. You know, when someone is seriously wondering if they're saved or not, I have to wonder myself if they're saved. I'm telling you, when I got saved, I knew it. It wasn't because I had some great feelings or anything. It was just somehow I felt lighter on the inside. When I got saved, I just felt lighter. I just knew something's different. And it was. I wasn't the same rotten person that I used to be. That person died the death of the cross in Christ, and that guy needed to be killed. He was worthless. Thank God for the new birth. Thank God that we can be born again into God's family. Praise God. We're born into His family. But let's understand something here. As we have talked about our new creation identity, you're born a son. That's your identity. A son of God. That's who you are. But let's understand something. We don't come into this completely and fully developed. We don't. There's a growing up. There's a maturing that takes place. And that maturing is what needs to happen before really we step into situations where maturity is necessary. Okay? And so, am I saying that this is going to take the rest of our life? Well, no. But there is time for us to focus on growing up spiritually. Am I also saying that there's a time that we won't need to grow anymore? No. There will always be a time where we can improve and grow and develop spiritually. And it is so vitally important that we recognize the necessity to grow up, the necessity to develop in the things of God, that we come into this as babes. Even hold your place there in Romans. Even as Peter, who walked with Jesus, understood this, understood this necessity for development, he made this statement in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes." See, does that give you the impression of someone that is a fully developed individual? When you hear the words newborn babes, is your mind painting you a picture of somebody that's been seasoned in the things of God, that's been around for years and years and things of God? No. It gives you the picture of a baby as newborn babes. Desire the sincere milk of the word. Why do I want to desire the sincere milk of the word, Peter? That you may grow thereby. See, we have to grow and develop as sons in order for God to be able to use us, in order for God to be able to minister to other people through us. There needs to be change happening in us. There needs to be a growing, a developing in the things of God. Hallelujah. I've met people that dispute the fact that there's a necessity for growth and development spiritually. They have the impression, and it's a wrong impression, I'm sorry to tell you, it's a wrong idea, that they think that when you're born again, you are the complete package. Now, you're never going to be any more of a son of God than what you are the instant that you're born again, that you are complete in Him. Complete. You are 100% a son of God the instant that you bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, does everything just fall on you like ripe cherries falling off a tree? No, that's not the case. But as you develop and grow in the things of God, as you spend time meditating the Word of God, as you spend time in prayer, just talking to the Lord, there's going to be growth, there's going to be change, and you're going to see here in a few minutes about the fact that as your mind is being renewed with the Word, that there's a transformation taking place inside of you.
You're being transformed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. From glory to glory. Now, I could say those words, from glory to glory, and they sound real nice and spiritual, but all too often, when people hear those, it don't really mean very much to them, because they don't understand what this glory, from glory to glory, is all about. Well, we want to look at that here. We want to look and see what this glory that is being discussed is all about. So, go over to 2 Corinthians, first of all. We're going to, and we'll be back to Romans 8, don't worry. 2 Corinthians, looking at chapter 3 and the last verse of the chapter, the 18th verse. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass. That glass is a mirror. We all with open face. There's nothing. We don't have any masks on. There's nothing that is obstructing our face. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass. We're looking as into a mirror. We're beholding what? The glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. What was I talking about when I was referring to the glory? The glory, if you look in in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, in the 14th verse, we're going to see about this glory. It's important that we understand that we don't want to just look at a word in the Bible and, it says glory. Well, glory, glory. And it doesn't mean a hill of beans to us. What is this talking about? In John chapter 1, we're going to see what this is talking about. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. Okay? Now we're going to see about what his glory. We beheld his glory. Well, you can stop right there. Don't look down. I can tell you, most people, if they were asked, what was his glory? Well, he was God. That was his glory. Is that what this says? Look down. And I'll read into it one more time. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory of being God. No. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We're talking about glory here. What was his glory? His glory was being the Son of God. See, it says it right there. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The glory was the fact that he was the Son of God. But see, when we make Jesus Lord of our life, we experience the new birth as well. And we are born sons of the living God. We're sons. We've been born this way. We're not trying to get to be sons someday off in the future. No. There's spiritual development, but we're sons all the time. It doesn't just come and go. Doesn't just change. We're sons all the time. We are sons. And so now we need to grow and develop in the things of God. Grow up. We need to grow up. Hallelujah. And see, right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we all with open face beholding as in a glass. That's a mirror. Beholding as in a glass of the glory of the Lord. Are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Look at those words. As in a glass, we're beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. When are we doing that? When we have this book open and we're reading it and we're beholding as in a glass, as in a mirror, this image that we see coming off these pages is supposed to change us, is supposed to influence us. We all with open face, open face. What's he talking about, open face? We don't have to go through somebody else to get us to tell us what God says about us in his word. We don't have to go anywhere else. We have an open face. Our eyes are open. We can see now and understand and comprehend the things of God. Glory to God. But we are with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image as we behold. Well, what are we beholding? We're beholding him as we see him walking through the pages of the Word of God. We're beholding the glory of the Lord. And it is changing us into the same image. In other words, we see him, we meditate on what he's doing as we watch him walking through the Gospels. It's changing us. Hallelujah. You can go back and look at Ephesians 1, talking about the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Glory to God. That's a great verse. Eyes of our understanding are being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling. What is the hope that he has in us? The calling of being a son of God. The eyes of my understanding, God enlightened them. That's a great prayer. That I may know what is the hope of your calling. I want to fulfill this. But first, I need to grow and develop in the things of God. I need to spend time with him. I need to allow the word to get inside of me and do the work that the word does. See, what he's saying here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. What he's talking about here, that word change is the same word metamorpho that we use in that Paul used in Romans chapter 12, talking about the transformation that takes place when we renew our minds. See, that transformation is revealing to us from glory to glory what it means to walk in the glory of the Son of God, what it means to be a son. Hallelujah. It will affect everything, every part of us. I am confident in this. Mark, do you do this perfectly? Absolutely not. I wish I did. And it's up to me to change it. There's nobody else that's going to come beating down my door to get me to change. I have to willingly pick up the Bible. I have to willingly subject myself to studying his word. And it is a delight, don't get me wrong. But I have to make a conscious decision that I'm going to allow his word to come inside of me. I'm going to meditate on it. And it's going to cause a transformation from glory to glory. From one understanding of what it means to be a son to the next understanding. See, all of this identification that we've been talking about is going to affect every part of our life. Every part. When we see this glory from glory to glory, when we acknowledge the fact that we are sons and we're being changed, we're being transformed. When people see us, they should see the little Jesus. Don't think I'm trying to say we turn into Jesus. I'm not saying that at all, but they should look at us and they should see a little Jesus, because what we're doing replicates what he did, what we see recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. People should see that in our lives. Not because we're anything special. No, he's the one that's special. Jesus is the one that's special. Jesus is the one that paid the price for us. And it only stands to reason that we have an obligation, because he paid the price. We have an obligation on our end to find out everything that belongs to us now as children, sons of the living God. And we need to be going through this transformation process. Go back to Romans 8. Holy Ghost brought this back to my attention, so I'm going to just say that this is in his mind for us to cover this evening. So here in Romans 8, I'll pick up where I left off. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon, now listen to these words, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Let's just stop there. We see that there is a groaning that's taking place in this world. And it's up to us to manifest this glory of being a son, to grow into this understanding of who we are. How does it happen, Mark? How can I on purpose walk into all that it means to be a son of God? I want to do this. I want this to happen. Well, we saw Paul talk about going from glory to glory. It's only going from one level of understanding about being a son to the next. The glory is being a son of God. And all I'm talking about here is how we can walk in the greater understanding of that. Because it is who we are. But if we don't do anything, we can walk around this earth for 40, 50 years, spiritual babies, never growing up, never fulfilling the plan of God. Why is that? Because we took the easy route. We did what everybody else does. We look like everybody else in the world. And consequently, you're going to have the results the world has. When the world is sick and dying, that's the result that you're going to get. See, I want different results. I want healing. I want health. I want the finances to be in line as a son. See, as a son, there shouldn't be any worrying about money. See, there needs to be that same kind of understanding in us, because we're children of God. Hallelujah. And we're going from glory to glory, from one level of understanding of being a son to the next, from glory to glory. And we do this by taking God's word, putting it in our heart, in front of our eyes, in our mouth. We speak it, we say it, and it's changing us. We're developing, we're growing in the things of God. Hallelujah. All right. I'm going to finish up here, Romans 8, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. I'm in verse 18. With the glory which shall be revealed in us, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth, the creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The earth is groaning and travailing, looking, waiting for what? For us Christians, us believers, to grow up, to develop in the things of God, to take our place in this world so that others can be changed, to take our place as sons, to exemplify what it means to be a son of God so that we can influence others for the kingdom of God so they can be saved, so they can come into this relationship, so they can grow. Hallelujah. So this that we have talked about here tonight is how this manifestation can take place. How can it take place? Because we're renewing our mind. Because we're going from glory to glory. And that glory is the glory of being a son of God. And we're changing and we're developing. And as Paul said, or as Peter said, as newborn babes, we are desiring the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. Glory to God. See, God did all of this for us. He did this for us. He didn't want us to stay spiritual babies, always dependent on somebody else to feed us. You know, that is a problem with that I see, one of the problems I see with churches today. It's just a big fat spiritual nursery where people are expecting to go there for, you know, for an hour and a half on Sunday morning, and they're going to get maybe 10 minutes of the Bible actually preached and about 40 minutes of somebody's opinion. And all the while, the understanding is just simply being lost of what it means to be a son. And the influence that we're to have on other people as sons, manifested sons of God. The world is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That manifestation has to take place in us. And it's through our choices to put flesh down and to edify the Spirit. How do you edify the Spirit? Praying in other tongues. Koro bo shandara ba karabasito. Kere be te de be she te de be sito. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So this is what we've been talking about tonight. Manifested sons of God. I will say that there was a movement years ago. And it was then that was the name of it, Manifest as Sons of God. And there were some things in it that weren't right. But it doesn't make the truth of God's word change just because somebody else took something and made something stupid out of it. No. What they made out of it was dumb. What the truth of God's word is not dumb, it's not wrong, it's right. There is a manifestation of the sons of God that needs to take place. The world is waiting, looking for people who are going to grow in the things of God. They're going to be challenged and develop in the things of God that aren't going to accept status quo and be satisfied with it. No. Refuse to do that. Refuse and demand change in your own life. Demand that you're not the same way 2 years, 3 years, 4 years from now as you are today. Refuse to accept that. Do what's necessary in order for change to take place in your life. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I think, let me just double check here and make sure that that was all I wanted to cover here in Romans 8. I'm going to read it one last time. For the earnest expectation of the creature, or in other words, the creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The world needs to see the sons of God stand up and take their rightful place and put the devil on the run. The world's waiting for it. We need to do this. We need to do what's necessary on our part in order to feed ourselves and develop and to mature. But, you know, it can't always be that we're just in a constant preparation mode. There's some time that you have to put legs to what you say you believe. That's important right there. At some point, you have to step out, make a stand of faith, and expect God to show up. Expect Him to show up. Thank you, Jesus. Manifested sons of God. Again, just because other people got off on it, just because they taught stuff that wasn't right, doesn't mean that the truth has changed. Doesn't mean that we can't receive from the truth of God's word, manifested sons of God. I think there might be one other verse here. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself is also delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. See, the world is waiting for us. Creation is waiting. Creation is groaning. For what? To see what the real sons of God look like. We saw what the Son of God looked like. He left us in charge. He wants us to manifest the what it means to be a son of God. God from glory to glory. How are we going to do that? What are we going to do? Is it just going to happen automatically? No. It's going to be effort on our part. We're going to have to do some things that other people just aren't willing to do. And really, we're going to have to love people, because love is the only true motivation that's going to bring us into a place of being that manifested Son of God. Love, like our Father. He is love. And what we do because of love, not for any selfish motives, not for attention, not to impress people. No. We do what we do because it's what Jesus did. He is our example. We're to pattern ourselves after him. So we should see the same results that Jesus had in his life. Amen. I think that's all for this evening. We're going to go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for our new birth. I thank you that we have come into your family as your sons, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Glory, glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for this teaching about being a manifested Son of God. Heavenly Father, I believe that this is what you desire of us, and I believe, Father, that it takes a true commitment on the heart, in the heart and mind of the people who are wanting to go this direction. And I pray, Father, that they commit themselves, that I commit myself, to not staying the same way, Father, that I've always been, but that I change, that I purpose in my heart to do the things necessary to change. And I expect, Father, your grace and mercy to help me to succeed, to grow, to develop. Thank you, Father. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.